It's Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Proposals are in for developments that could go up on acres of land opening up for redevelopment in downtown Providence. The land was freed up by a major highway project that involved moving Interstate 195. And joining me in the studio to bring us up to speed on the project is the chairman of the 195 Redevelopment District Commission, Colin Kane. Thanks for being here.
Morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
So from the beginning, this land was opened up when 195 was moved to loop around downtown Providence, and there are 19 acres that can be built on, right? Can you describe the land a little bit?
Well, in typical Rhode Island fashion, it's where the highway used to be. The relocation of Interstate 195, the planning began around 25 years ago, and quite an extraordinary accomplishment that many cities are now revisiting their decision to kind of break their cities in two, which is what 195 did. So the link, or these 19 parcels that you described, are the residual results of taking down the old highway. It began with 40 acres, which was opened up by the demolition of the highway. 8 of those acres are being dedicated to open space and parks. About 19 can be built upon. The balance are roads and sidewalks, and we will be installing a pedestrian connection to connect the east and the west side across the river.
So who gets to decide what goes on this land? And I mean everything from the new development you mentioned to sidewalks and public space, the parks.
The commission was created in late 2011 to be the disposition agency, the redevelopment authority for the property. I won't go into the arcane federal highway rules, but federal highway was mandated to sell the property at fair market value. And the property was always viewed as a funding source for the completion of the roads and the infrastructure that we see under construction today. So the commission serves several functions. One, it satisfied federal highway requirements for the disposition of the property, so it effectively defederalized the sales process. The commission is the fee owner and accountable party, so we have to maintain it. We're the go-to party if there's graffiti. And we're also the super permitting agency, so we not only decide who we sell to, but we also permit that body.
And remind me again what role public input has played in making these decisions.
The creation of the commission was through a public process. It was a statutory process through the legislature. We have inherited, as part of our mandate, the zoning that the city put in place in July of 2012. And we're very much working with our fellow agencies and city compatriots to make sure that, you know, we're not an island. We work very much together.
Now, Colin Kane, have you been working with urban planners or other experts to develop an overarching strategy for this ribbon of land?
Oh, we have. The commission is 7 volunteers. We have 2 staff members. We were fortunate a year ago to hire Executive Director Jan Brody, who has a national level of experience in the development process. We did engage a national urban planning consultant and prepared what we call a toolkit, a disposition toolkit that you can actually get online on our website. So what that serves is, one, is to inform the commission's decisions as to how best to realize the maximum potential for each parcel, but also it's a guidebook for those that want to invest and build in our city, because we've pre-permitted, here's what we would like to have. So it's meant to facilitate investment in vertical construction.
But so, Colin Kane, what is your overarching vision for what you'd like to see be developed on all of these properties?
Well, you know, we get asked that question a lot. Is it meds and eds? Are we handing it off to the universities? The truth is that it's 19 acres in an urban setting. I think that many people have a difficult time understanding how much building fabric can be produced on 19 acres in a city. Our initial planning studies and detailed planning studies, quite frankly, show that we can comfortably support 3 to 4 million square feet of building fabric, which would be basically another third of a downtown. And in 3 million square feet of building fabric, we can have a host of different activities that run from office to academic to hospitality to residential. Really, the market will dictate what happens, but our mandate is economic development, getting jobs and people downtown.
And I mean, we've seen at least one ambitious proposal that called for an Italian-style piazza. There's also a lot of talk about creating a biomedical hub in Providence. But it seems like some of the proposals you're actually considering call for more mixed-use retail residential developments.
Well, we haven't shared publicly any of the proposals that we received. We went to market for the first time in mid-January. We went as a fully permitted, near-pad-ready condition. We basically wanted to hear what the market interests were, where our initial investments are likely to happen. So we're very pleased that we have a variety of proposals and a mix of uses. And the commission is now beginning that evaluation process, applying a very high standard of care to understand what works best in these parcels and what, quite frankly, will actually come out of the ground. Sponsorship matters. And then also, if we do allow something to proceed, to make sure it doesn't mess up future possibilities on the property that we hold. These are the family jewels.
Now, you have been criticized, Colin Kane, for keeping details of these proposals private. What's the rationale behind that decision?
One, we don't want to negotiate in the newspaper. I think that these are complex decisions. I am a real estate developer. That's what I do for a living. These decisions will be made in a very thoughtful and iterative manner. So we're not going to pop out of an executive session, the commission, and say, we've given the property to, investor X. We're going to go through a very thoughtful process that will iterate and follow a typically commercial approach where we designate somebody to then they have to go spend money, demonstrate to us that they're real. And then when they get to a point where the commission feels comfortable that they're real, at that point, we enter into a formal purchase and sale agreement.
How many proposals are you considering and what can you tell us about?
We have between 4 and 12. Again, we're pleased with their response. We were only exposed to the market for 50, 60 days. Some would say a house in that time period wouldn't have as many offers as we've had.
And what's the timeline for development to actually begin on these properties?
The commission will not be what I'll call the long pole in a tent as it relates to holding up development. The process for a significant building to be created involves schematic, design development, and construction drawing, amazing amount of engineering and investment. Buildings have to be capitalized. So the approval process, both through the commission as well as our partners at the state, DEM, Coastal Resources, Narragansett Bay Commission, will be a far shorter time frame than the actual process needed to get a building out of the ground.
But, what are we looking at? 2 years? 10 years?
It very much depends on the project, the competency of the sponsor, and the commission's determination as to when to go forward.
And can you tell me, if you don't get the proposals you're hoping for, what will happen?
We're going to continue to make good decisions. We haven't left the market. We can only evaluate so many proposals at once and still apply a very high standard of care. So, again, 19 acres, 3 million square feet. We have lots of room for lots of proposals in the coming decade.
When will the public begin to see some sort of work, whether it's the public space or some development on this land?
Well, I understand the public wants to see tower cranes. The commission wants to see tower cranes. We had a celebration of all the stuff that's been installed under the ground. We have a remarkably complex set of improvements that have actually been installed. And I know people are like, it's just sidewalk, it's just roadway. My subdivision has that. The truth is that we're doing that in an urban context, and we're doing it to a very, very robust standard. As much as I'd like to see tower cranes, I'm just as excited about seeing sewer installation.
Well, Colin Kane, chairman of the 195 Redevelopment District Commission, thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you, Elizabeth.